On June 2, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency announced a plan to require each state to cut power plant carbon emissions by 30% based on 2005 levels, and to make progress on that goal by 2020. To discuss the potential impact of this plan in Wisconsin, thanks to Public Service Commissioner Ellen Nowak, who joined the PSC in 2011 and who oversees the agency's Focus on Energy program. Ellen, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Steve. Glad to be here.
I want to start off by, this is from the EPA website, so I'm going to give their talking points now. Before we get into this, our climate is changing and we're feeling the dangerous and costly effects right now, point one. Although there are limits at power plants for other pollutants like arsenic and mercury, there are currently no national limits on carbon. Nationwide, the Clean Power Plan will help cut carbon pollution from the power sector by 30% by 2005 levels. And finally, Americans will see billions of dollars in public health and climate benefits now and for future generations. Was it a surprise to you who regulate the industry that they came out with this plan, and it's a pretty aggressive plan? So let's talk overall.
Yeah, I'm not surprised they came out with the plan. The president has made climate change and addressing it a priority of his administration. I think there's still a lot of debate out there what the cause, if there is any climate change out there, but nonetheless, the administration is going to address it. And they've chosen to use a little-known part of the Clean Air Act to address carbon emissions. They are correct in their talking points that there are no current rules that regulate carbon from fossil fuels.
Okay.
And so that's what this plan does, and it does it quite aggressively. So I was quite surprised at the amount of reductions that they sought, but also the methodology and how they got to getting there. Unfortunately, there wasn't a lot of consultation with the regional energy markets, with our national market, with how much is this going to have an impact on the cost and reliability on our electricity grid. So that part, I guess, was not only surprising but a little disappointing to me from here in Wisconsin, especially that we're so manufacturing intensive.
Yeah, we're like number two or three, depending on the year.
Yeah, and who you talk to.
Indiana
per
could
capita,
be one, or we go back and forth.
And we're heavily coal dependent. And we're going to see.
What percentage of our energy comes from coal?
Based on 2012 numbers, we were just over 60%.
60.
Right, but under this plan, under the modeling we've seen, it's going to drop by about 25%. So we're going to be in maybe in the 30s. So what is that going to mean? It's going to be a major fuel shift. This rule is going to have a major impact on our electricity generation. It's going to have a major impact on our economy. And it was, quite honestly, it was rushed through quite quickly. The president wanted to get this out in June of 2014. And I think we're seeing some consequences now as I attend meetings not only here in our state with our utilities, but around the country about some of the things that weren't maybe thought about how this rule is actually going to play out, how it will work in the real world. I think if you do want to address climate change, you need to have a better plan of action to come forward.
Well, you mentioned climate change. Does the PSC have an official position on whether it exists and how much of a threat?
Personally, I think the jury is still out there. But, you know, and when you're regulating such a large segment of the economy on, I think, science that is still debatable, I think you're walking on some shaky ground.
Going through, just to continue the overall framework, going through some of the EPA information to get ready for the show, they say it's a real benefit to let each state devise its own plan to meet the 30% goal by when?
2030. There's an interim goal that you have to reach by 2020.
What's that goal?
I don't know our total overall goal is 34%.
34%.
Mm-hmm.
34%
by 2030.
Based on
2012 numbers. Based off our 2012 emissions.
So our benchmark year was 2012.
Mm-hmm.
34% of a cut in
CO2 emissions.
CO2 emissions. Is that carbon dioxide?
Carbon dioxide.
Oh, I guessed right. Okay. Having flunked chemistry. But anyway.
So one of the criticisms that, again, we're hearing from many kinds of groups all around the country is using that 2012 as a baseline year. Why is it bad? Well, 2012, there actually was a lot of natural gas being used that year because it was quite cheap then. But also, it doesn't give credit for early action on a lot of emission controls that were done. States that were early actors, like Wisconsin, our ratepayers have put billions of dollars into efficiency upgrades into our coal plants over the last decade.
Right.
We're not getting credit for that.
Well, the last show I did with PSC Chairman Phil Montgomery, we were talking about the renewable, the energy standard, and he said we've already hit that.
We have.
And the next legislative session may want to set a new one, depending on all that.
Right.
So your point is we are making progress.
We are making progress, but unfortunately under this rule, we're not getting credit for that. So you basically have to start over again. And what that's going to mean for ratepayers is going to mean a lot of increased costs. And states like, for example, Kentucky, that haven't done a lot of work on the efficiency upgrades or have a statewide or a robust energy efficiency program like we have here in Wisconsin, they have it a lot easier to meet their goal than we do as Wisconsin. So the good early actors are being punished under this rule.
Oh, because we have achieved reductions, and by locking in 2012 as a base year,
right,
whereas Kentucky then is so much worse off.
Correct.
Than Wisconsin.
Right.
So we're being penalized.
We're being penalized. And there's a lot of states in our position. There's states like Kentucky that are going, boy, I thought we were thinking the worst for this rule, and they're not. Now, from an economic development standpoint, you know, that puts us at a disadvantage, and that concerns us.
Well, where the rubber meets the road here is so many of our plants burn coal.
Right.
Do I have this right?
Right.
Lay it out. I mean, 60%?
Well, that's the generation where it's coming from, but still most of our plants are coal plants.
Are they older plants?
Some are older, but you know, we've got Oak Creek, which is one of the newest in the country, one of the most efficient in the country.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be working a lot more, but really what we're going to see is a switch to a lot of natural gas under this rule. Now, again, what this rule constructing it didn't take into consideration is what is the existing infrastructure for natural gas pipelines? Do we have enough there to accommodate an increase in natural gas supply? Are we going to have to build more natural gas plants? Are we going to have to bring in more renewable wind and other renewables from other states? That's also on the table. That means building more transmission or building more renewables here in Wisconsin. Both of those are usually contentious. You know, siting a transmission line, that brings a lot of controversy usually. But we might have to see some more of that coming into Wisconsin. The rule also requires a lot more energy efficiency. Right now, our statewide program, we spend about $100 million a year on focus on energy. The savings we achieve are just under 1%. It's about 0.8%.
Okay.
What this, the way this rule was constructed, the way they got to our 34%, it's assuming we're going to get about 12%. That's costly. We've done
from 0.8% to 12 over.
To 12. So there's a lot.
Over what period?
To 2030.
Okay, thank you.
But the question here, and this is perhaps the most, there's a lot of legal issues with the rule. And one of the criticisms of the rule is the EPA is not just regulating at the source of the coal plant. It's now extending the reach of its regulation to beyond what they call outside the fence line of the plant. Okay, and there is, I think, questions being raised whether or not the EPA has authority to reach outside of a coal plant's footprint, so to speak, and regulate. Because the question becomes, how can they enforce, how can we enforce as a state, demand-side energy efficiency to ramp it up to 12%.
Right.
So there's going to be several legal questions raised about that.
It seems to me that your agency is partnering with DNR. What's the relationship with DNR? And how are you both working on these,
you know,
on this federal proposal?
We've been spending a lot of resources on it. We actually started looking at this rule before the proposal came out in June. We started last year. The EPA took the unprecedented step of asking states to comment on a pre-proposal.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did that. We were working very closely with the DNR, their air quality staff, and talking with our utilities about what would some of these measures mean. We filed comments last November.
Okay.
On the pre-proposal. When the proposal came out this June, our staff immediately took a look at it with the DNR staff. We're conducting some modeling, our staff, to see, you know, what type of generation might work under some of these scenarios and what's the cost going to be about some of this. I meet either by phone or in person, at least weekly with the DNR staff. We had a joint stakeholder meeting with all of our utilities, the environmental groups, and so forth in June, right after this rule came out. Okay. We've sought comment from all of those entities. We're just getting those comments back in right now, and we're going through them. And those comments are going to help us, as the two agencies, as we file comments which are due to the EPA on October 16th.
Well, getting ready for the show, I read a Journal Sentinel story, mm-hmm. and it said that we have 11 coal-burning mm-hmm. plants. Mm-hmm. And the biggest of these, Columbia, emits 7.8 million tons of CO2. Mm-hmm. And the second is, Pleasant Prairie. Mm-hmm. And then Weston, and then South Oak Creek. Mm-hmm. So are these facilities, well, let's go back to the basics. Are they going to be allowed to stay open if this becomes law and is enforced?
I think they're going to see a lot of reduced. We're going to see a lot more coal retirements.
Are we going to have to shutter these?
We're going to shutter some coal plants.
Some of the 11?
We are. I mean, we cannot keep every coal plant running under this scenario. What is going to happen is our generation mix is going to have to fundamentally change. We're going to drop, again, by about 25% of our coal generation.
Okay, so we're going to use less coal, more natural gas. Mm-hmm. Is this then being, you know how power politics goes, is this being pushed by the natural gas industry?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think they're complaining about it right now because they're going to see increased use.
But so less coal, more natural gas, excuse me.
Right, but see, our coal plants, right now we call them our baseload plants. I mean, they're the workhorses, right? They're the ones that are running most of the time to provide the electricity to keep these lights on here, to keep our manufacturers mm-hmm. in business. What's going to happen is you're going to see a switch to natural gas and some renewable, and there's going to be, you know, an increased pressure on energy efficiency. So your coal plants are going to have to run less. Now, one of the ironies of this rule is that it's banking on these coal plants becoming more efficient. But when you run your coal plant less, it actually decreases the efficiency. It's like your car going down. You know, you go at 60 miles an hour, you're going to get a steady rather than stopping and starting.
Right.
That doesn't help the efficiency. But now that's what we're going to be asked to do with our coal plants. And then what we're going to do, what this rule would propose to do, is require more work out of our natural gas plants, phenomenally more work. It's looking at gas plants running a lot more than they are right now, and those plants weren't necessarily designed to be the workhorses. Gas plants aren't your baseload type of plant. They run more cyclical. So from a physical operation standpoint, I don't know yet what that means to have them running a lot more often.
So
there might be more operation O&M costs.
So these 11 baseline coal plants mm-hmm. are producing at a pretty standard level, mm-hmm. generating their workhorses.
Our
natural gas plants fluctuate mm-hmm. depending on a lot of other factors.
We call them the peakers, you know, when there's a high demand need, and yes.
And well, then would you have to retrofit the natural gas to produce more, which got to be expensive?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to lose some of these 11 coal?
We're going to lose some coal generation, or they're going to be running just several weeks out of the year. So what does that mean? It's called stranded assets. It's going to mean that we're going to be either building more or upgrading our gas plants mm-hmm. or building more transmission to bring in renewables from out of state. Well, we still have to pay, the ratepayers have to pay for those 11 coal plants. So it's like you going out and buying the most fuel-efficient car there is today.
Okay, a hybrid something.
Most fuel-efficient car you can buy, brand new.
Or a Volt or something.
A Volt. You got to pay that monthly bill.
That was not a plug for Volts, but go ahead, excuse me.
And then a month later, saying, that one's not good enough, but we're going to let you drive it, but only 1 month out of the year. And by the way, you still have to make those full car payments on it 12 months out of the year. And you have to buy this other car that's even better, it's more efficient, pay those. And not quite sure if it's going to get to you where you're going, because we haven't tested it fully yet in how it actually works in the system.
The reason that I'm so glad you're doing this show, because I'm trying to Wisconsin is trying to build awareness of this issue, mm-hmm. because I think what you're about to tell me is all of us ratepayers mm-hmm. and customers ought to be aware of this from a purely financial standpoint.
That's right.
Has PSC, you're the lead person, costed this out?
Our preliminary numbers show us this is going to be anywhere between $10 and $20 billion to achieve by 2030, and then it's going to keep increasing, billion. And that's just for Wisconsin.
Oh, okay, let's put that in perspective.
Yeah.
What is that going to do to an average customer's
bill? You're probably going to see double-digit increases in your electricity bill.
Pardon me, but none of my neighbors are aware of this issue.
I know.
So how does the PSC and the DNR say, hey, you really, is there a PR campaign, a public awareness campaign?
You know, we are working right now, we're so focused on filing our comments to the EPA, pointing out, you know, why we believe that 34% that was assigned to Wisconsin, where we see some flaws in that methodology. Okay. And then we will also comment on, because the PSC's real lead role is on cost reliability.
Yeah.
And we're still in the process of gathering some information on the cost and reliability. We're working within our regional energy market, too. We're part of a 15-state region that buys and sells our electricity.
But the PSC role, if this became law, would be to set the rates are going to double-digit customers.
We have to approve any upgrades that need to be done, and we have to approve any cost increases. And so I try to, every forum that I go out to, even before this rule came out, to help understand what makes up someone's electricity bill. We really don't spend a lot of time looking at our electricity bill. You know, you look at your number and you pay it, right?
Yeah.
But what goes into it, a lot of it's a fixed cost, and a lot of it, more and more, is going to be these pass-through costs from the EPA.
Okay.
Not just on this is just one rule, Steve. There's a lot more out there that's coming. But this one, I think it's safe to say, is probably the most complex probably the most costly so far.
If there were an environmental advocate sitting here, and maybe on the next show there will mm-hmm. be, she or he will say, yeah, but go back to the global warming argument and the fact that it will save lives. The EPA lead to climate and health benefits worth an estimated $55 to $93 billion in 2030, including avoiding 2,700 to 6,600 premature deaths mm-hmm. and 140,000 to 150,000 asthma attacks in children.
Yep. You know, this is all about balance.
Okay.
I haven't examined their numbers. I don't know if the EPA, I haven't looked at their health statistic numbers, but what the EPA, I believe, didn't take into consideration is the great cost at what some of these achievements will come. If you look at CO2 emissions on a worldwide basis, mm-hmm. India, China, the South Americas are building coal plants all the time. Their CO2 emissions are increasing, while ours have actually decreased slightly over the last few years.
Ours as a nation? You're not just talking
Correct.
About Wisconsin?
The U.S. as a nation.
Okay.
So if you look at how this rule will impact CO2 emissions worldwide, if we continue on the trajectory that, you know, all the countries are on right now, it's going to be so minimal. So then you have to ask, what is the balance? At what cost are we doing this for?
Mm-hmm.
You know, no other country is going to be taking this type of aggressive approach. So unless until there is some commitment worldwide, we're really standing out there, and I think putting ourselves at an economic disadvantage.
And Wisconsin is one of those that would be hurt the most because we've made the most progress.
We are. I think I saw a statistic the other day we're hit the 14th hardest nationwide from this rule.
Okay.
We have made a lot of advancements.
And
we're being punished for it.
And we also have a lot of manufacturing.
We have a lot of manufacturing. And other states that have been aggressive, like in their renewable portfolio standards, like, for example, Minnesota, they have a lot more work to do now because they've made those efforts. And now the EPA said, because they're using that baseline, that 2012, they say you have to do more.
again, reading from the Journal Sentinel story, the EPA and supporters envision that utilities will tap nuclear plants, natural gas-fired power plants, wind farms, and solar panels. Are these realistic options for Wisconsin, Ellen?
Well, nuclear's not, unfortunately.
We just shuttered. We just closed Kewaunee, right?
Unfortunately.
Was that the wrong call in light of this EPA standard? Excuse me, I'm not giving you a chance to answer.
Well, that was a merchant-owned plant. The PSC didn't have jurisdiction over it.
All right.
So that closure was out of our control. I think it's unfortunate that closed, but that was really the result of low natural gas prices, that timing of that closure, and they just couldn't get a contract to sell to the utilities here anymore because natural gas prices were so low. I think we will suffer in the long term because of that closure. That was about 560 megawatts of carbon-free emissions. And now that's off the table for us.
Here's a naive question. Once you shut down a nuclear plant like Kewaunee, can they restart?
They can, but sometimes you get past to the point of no return to be able to start it back up. And they are in the process of shutting it down. Ramping it down. And unfortunately, we have the ban here on any building any new nuclear in Wisconsin.
Something that the policymakers in the Capitol may want to revisit in light of the EPA?
I think they should. I think we need to have every option out there because we need to be able to... Nuclear is more reliable than a wind and solar, for example. So, will we see some more wind and solar? I think we're going to have to see more renewable energy. But again, there's going to be a cost to that. And where are we going to get it from? And where are we going to site it? Those are all questions that we're going to have to face.
Okay, two questions on the process. Are we yet at the point where the PSC and DNR are asking customers who would face, you said, double-digit increases in their utility bills to get involved, or is it premature?
No, we are at the phase. We're talking to our utilities. I guess the agencies don't typically engage in the grassroots type of advocacy. I think there's a lot of groups out there on both sides and all sides that are going to take a look at that and comment on that. From our perspective, though, our job is at the PSC to look out for the ratepayer, and we will be commenting on that in these rules. And I think we also are going to take a hard look at what some of the legal issues are surrounding this rule. Once this rule becomes final, we're in a proposal stage. This rule is set to become a final rule in June of 2015, and then I think you will see a flurry of lawsuits hitting then.
What about the pushback from states like Wisconsin and other states similarly situated that the potential cost again? Mm-hmm. Give us that again. Is how many billion?
Ten to twenty billion. Billion.
The states like Wisconsin, are you filing responses that say, in light of this cost, don't enact the law or don't enact this proposal or dial it back?
Yes. We are.
Which one? Both?
Both. The rule, again, this goes back to the balance question where you asked, what are the goals here that the EPA wants to do versus at what cost? And we are looking at this hard because not only is there a cost, but the question is, how is this going to impact the reliability of our electricity grid? Okay. If we're doing some major fuel switching, if we're going from coal to more natural gas and more renewables, that's going to have an impact. There's so much work that goes behind the scenes to make sure that our electricity and electrons keep flowing.
Yep.
That the folks who are doing that on a day-to-day basis, 24 hours a day, are still trying to get their hands around how this might impact that.
Sometimes, you and I know, because you're a veteran of the Capitol, politicians set goals of 30% when they really are aiming at 22, 20, or 15. Mm-hmm. Is it likely that the APA would really dial it back and settle for half of the 30%? What do you think?
Maybe because I'm a veteran of the Capitol, I'm a bit of I'm jaded.
So you think they're serious about 30%?
I think they're serious. I think I've heard the president say many times this is a goal of his administration. And, I think that
he sees this as part of his legacy issue.
He wants this part of his legacy.
Okay. Next steps for both your agency, DNR, and... it's not time for we ratepayers to get involved? Am I going to get a letter?
Well, ratepayers can always get involved.
But we don't write the PSC or the DNR, do we?
You can write to the EPA. They're taking comments from everybody right now. They are. Next steps for us are comments are due on October 16th. We'll be filing a probably fairly lengthy set of comments to the EPA, going through each of the things that we've talked about, the impact on our utilities, the impact on our ratepayers, mm-hmm. the reliability issues, the costs. And then we will wait until the final rule comes out in June. In the meantime, I'm still working with other states to figure out, do we want to do this as a state, as a standalone in our compliance, or do we want to join a region. Of states?
Okay.
I don't know the answer to that yet. We're still exploring those opportunities.
Well, wouldn't you want to join a regional coalition if other states in the region are going to be hit as hard as Wisconsin?
You do. It all depends on how, and we're waiting for some more clarification on how this credit trading will work, how... our renewables out of state would be credited. Where would those get credited? I don't want Wisconsin to lose any credit for work we've already done. And so I want to make sure that, Wisconsin comes out ahead.
Yes.
If we join a group. I don't want, we've invested billions of dollars in investments. Some of our utilities have renewable facilities in other states. I want to make sure that those ratepayers that paid for that are still going to get credit for it going forward. That's the most important thing.
Okay, now let's go back to the timeline. If this rule became effective in its current form with a goal of 30%, it would mm-hmm. be in June of 2015?
Correct.
And then you would expect a flurry of lawsuits to tie it up for X number of years.
Right.
Potentially taking it to the Supreme Court. But didn't the Supreme Court just uphold the EPA's power in another area?
The Supreme Court has given a lot of deference to the EPA. The first step is, the D.C. Circuit Court. I think getting a stay of the rule might be a little difficult. That's what makes my job and, everyone that runs a utility plant a little more difficult is that you have to plan and spend a lot of money, unfortunately, in a big state of uncertainty if there's all those lawsuits out there. So you have to make your best guess, use your best judgment. But yes, there will be lawsuits filed, but the utilities at the same time in the state still has to plan, and we are, that this is going forward.
Well, but let's talk politics a little bit. There's a presidential election in 2016. He or she who was elected president, when they take office in January of 17, mm-hmm. if they didn't agree with it, their EPA could make it go away, correct?
They could.
So I guess my question is how... I'm excited as a ratepayer. Mm-hmm. You have my attention by saying a potential double-digit increase. Because mm-hmm. Right now it's, okay, write the check.
Right.
But should I... There's so many factors and variables out there. Should I be worried now?
Yes. Yes, because you know how election, that's far off in politics. And we have to plan, and we have to start making progress right now and speaking out about what we think about this rule and what its impacts may be to Wisconsin.
And is it up to the PSC and DNR to build a working coalition with like the WMCs because of the impact on our manufacturers, or is that not in your job description?
You know what, we reached out to all groups to give us their feedback, whether it's WMC or Clean Wisconsin or Renew. I wanted to hear from everybody what they thought about the rule, and we're taking those all into consideration. But at the end, the comments will be filed by the DNR and the PSC.
Okay. Well, summarize it this way. Ratepayers like me should be concerned because, and we might be considering doing what? Let's end it that way.
Because we might be considering making an aggressive change in our energy portfolio that Wisconsin is going to have to make major investments to prepare for.
And I think, one more time, potentially 10 or 20,
10, with 20 billion,
billion yeah. by
2030. Yeah.
Ellen Nowak, Public Service Commissioner, thanks so much for a briefing on the issue.
Thank you.
And maybe after June, when they come out with something, you and some others should come back.
Be happy to do it.
Because of the importance of the issue.
Happy to do it.
Thanks so much.
Thanks.